Had a chance to talk to a guy about a lot of things that's been being preached. You know, sometimes if we'll listen, the question will be asked. And it makes it so much easier when they're the ones that ask the question. But I just want to share with you about things that's the changes that has taken place here in the Word, and, you know, different things that we've been doing. And sometimes in those, you know, it's been questioned, it's been talked about. And a lot of times, you know, when God changes things, or he opens up the eyes of our understanding to see things that we hadn't seen before, and you start preaching it, you get the feeling like you're all alone. But we're not. And last Thursday morning, I got up early that morning and just was home. Just, I never asked the Lord for nothing. Just letting him know how awesome he was. And later after, you know, after a little while, I got in my truck and started heading down the road and had one of those moments. You know, sometimes in order to really get what God has for us, we have to listen. You know, sometimes we just need to simply just shut up and listen. And I didn't have the radio on. I was just driving down the road going to check my boat. And all of a sudden, it's like the presence of God just, by his Spirit, the Spirit of God just filled that truck. And I couldn't tell you, other than when Pastor announced that we were going to stop in Kentucky at the Ark Encounter, I couldn't tell you the last time I even thought about Genesis chapter 6. In fact, not long ago, I listened to it. And I was in the shop and just started playing Genesis and listened to it and just really never stopped there and thought about it. But that morning, last Thursday morning on my way down the road, the Lord just said, if you feel like you're all alone, how do you think Noah felt? You know, imagine calling a local lumber yard and telling them to deliver you all the lumber they can to Arizona. Right in the middle of the desert, you're about to build a boat. People are going to think you're crazy. And you know, think about it. Chapter 6. That's way close, way in the front, right after God's creation. And the people got so corrupt, he destroyed them. Way in chapter 6. But thank God, somebody was listening. Three things, when the Lord brought this to my remembrance, he says, hear, listen, and obey. Sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. And if we don't listen, it'll cause disobedience. So we got to learn how to hear, how to listen, and how to obey. Three simple things. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said something, and I never got a response. And I know they heard me. I said, well, I know you heard me, but you're not listening. So if you're not listening, you're not going to respond to what I said. And how many times God speaks by his spirit, by his anointing, and we hear, but we really don't listen. Despite what people thought, despite what people said, despite what happened all around Noah, he heard, he listened, and he obeyed God. They thought he was crazy. What are you going to do building a ship in the mountains, building an ark in the mountains? You know, and I understand now, you know, we have ships a whole lot bigger than the ark. But if the Lord would speak to somebody and say, build an ark, people would think they're crazy. But you know, spiritually, when God's word changed and there was a complete revelation of what God was really saying on how he wanted us to serve him and what he wanted us to do, spiritually, he said, build an ark. And to a lot of people in America, a lot of people across the world, it was strange. Because it totally went against what everybody else was doing. And, you know, when you look around at what's going on, there's people, this is the reasons, several reasons that we have to hear, listen, and obey. There's people right now in America that depending who becomes our next president, they're going to be devastated because that's all they care about. That's what they depended on. If we would start depending on God, like some people depends on who's going to be president or who's going to be, you know, in charge and who's going to be doing this and who's going to be doing that. It would be amazing what God can do for us. But we got to learn how to trust him. But we'll never know how to trust him without hearing, listening, and obeying him. And it might sound strange. It might sound like we're the only ones doing it. But if it's the word of God, we better be willing to do it. You know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want it to be about me. Said, in fact, I don't want it to be about Faith Temple Ministries, but I want it to be about you. When people come around, I don't want them to see me. I don't want them to hear me. But I want them to feel God's presence. And I was in the shop today and a young man came by last week. He dropped some nets off and he came by today. And he sat down and he said, you still going to church in Bierce? I said, yeah. He said, well, I heard y'all don't celebrate holidays. I said, well, we don't. And I had a chance to just explain to him. You know, we done it because that's what we were brought up doing. We done it because we were taught all our life it was right. But then you get a revelation of what the word of God really says, and you have to be willing to change things in your life. And I think today was just the beginning of what God's going to continue to do. You know, when he sat there, he said, you know, these holidays, most people don't believe it. But most of it's pagan, and that's where it started. That's the root of it. And, you know, we had a real good talk, and but sometimes we got to be willing to talk about it. You know, we didn't get in a fight about it. We didn't fuss about it. Because everything I said, I could back up by the word. See, that's what stops the fuss. That's what stops the argument, when you could back it up. But like I told him, I said, look, we didn't always know this. I said, but we had to go back. Because in God's word, we missed it. It was overlooked. So sometimes you got to go back and say, okay, Lord, where did I miss it? See, that's part of hearing, listening, and obeying. And as strange as it was, you know, when especially when Pastor preached the first time about Christmas, we had people doing this, but in the back of their mind, they was like, what is he doing? And then you preached about Easter. But it's okay for them to have a little chocolate bunny. I just went through this with a guy from another church. He called and said, well, what y'all doing for Easter? So we don't do Easter, we do in Passover. Oh, well, it's okay for them to have a chocolate bunny. I said, would you go on right ahead and have your little chocolate bunny? We're doing Passover. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to honor God. We're going to honor our Father. But you see, that's what caused it to get so bad. Because it was okay to have a little chocolate bunny. Then it turns into all these other things. And I ain't never, since I got saved, and I told a guy this, I said, look, I said, for a long time I've been trying to put together Jesus and dyed eggs, the Easter bunny, and chocolate, and it just don't mix. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where you can put it together. Somebody came up with it, and then everybody just started doing it because it felt good. It sounded good, and it looked good. Sometimes we can make it taste good. It don't mean it's right. But we got to be willing to have those encounters. See, part of hearing is being willing to have an encounter with God, with His Spirit, being led by His Spirit. You know, on Sunday night, Brother Herman came and sat next to me. He said, are you okay with the schedule? Just kind of looked at him. He said, we put a schedule together. I said, well, the schedule's good. I said, but one thing, as being in a ministry, being called by God, we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit. I said, we might get here and I'm scheduled to speak, or he's scheduled to speak, or Brother Chad or Brother Josh, but the Spirit of God says something different. We have to be willing to make that change by being led by the Spirit. See, being led by the Spirit's more important than a schedule. Because sometimes God messes up our schedule. Sometimes we think, I'm going to go talk about this. And you get behind a pulpit and says, and God says, no, you're saying this. See, that's the importance of being led. And But we got to get our hearer right. We got to be able to tell the difference between the spirit. We got to be able to understand how to be led by what God says in his word. You know, when you go to the words of Jesus, every encounter Jesus ever had with the enemy, with the devil, with unclean spirits, he always used the word of God. He always reflected back to what the Father's word said. And if he done it, what exempts us? Because after all, we need to be led by the Spirit. And that's what Jesus done. He was led by the Spirit. And a way to overcome the enemy is use God's word. We can repeat what somebody else said all day long. But when we start repeating the word of God, the devil knew. Listen, he knows God's word. He knows what it says. But the test comes to see what we know. The test comes to see how much we've been hearing, listening, and obeying. You know, am I willing to use God's word? You know, don't, and that's what I told a guy today. So you don't need to believe what I'm saying. Go back to the Bible and read it as a book. Don't separate it. Don't break it apart. Because, you know, I understand there's chapters, there's verses, there's books. But when we look at the word, it's one book. And when we start taking it at one book and quit trying to divide it up, then we'll come to a clear understanding of what God's trying to do in our life and what he's trying to lead us to. And, you know, at any time, whether you're ministering or whether you're just sitting out in the seat, we got to be willing when a spirit shows up to react to what the spirit leads. We got to be willing when God wants to encounter with us by his power and his anointing, we got to be willing to follow that lead. Because that's what Jesus done. You know, every time you go over the words of Jesus and everything he done, he followed God's lead. You know, and the question came up about who Jesus is. Well, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the only way to the Father. I said, and where the big fight comes in is most people believes Jesus was God. Said, but he wasn't. He said, well, I understand that. He said, no, I don't believe Jesus was God. He said, and I believe Jesus gave up everything so that you and I can have eternal life. You know, it wasn't one of those times that, because I've had talks with supposedly be Christians that ended up in a fuss. Because they came with a self-willed, self-righteous spirit. I'm right, everybody else is wrong. And wasn't able to see the truth. And that's what God's trying to just get us to simply come to a realization of what the truth is. But it goes against what we've been taught all of our life. It goes against what we've been, you know, and in some cases we've repeated it. You know, then I was off preaching, and I got up to preach, and I said, I want to ask this church to forgive me. I said, because there's some things in God's word that I've seen and never preached. And there's some things that I said and wasn't right. I said, I ask you to forgive me. And, I mean, people's just looking at you like, you know, what he's about to do. See, sometimes when we follow the leadership of God's Spirit, it's not always going to be popular. It's not always just going to fit in. Sometimes it takes a little wiggling, takes a little moving. But are we willing to do that? You know, it's kind of like you go to your closet. And I probably have some clothes in my closet that's 10 years old. That when I bought them 10 years ago, I fit them. And I grabbed a couple of those pants lately. And by the time you get your second leg, and it don't take long to figure out this ain't happening. Not unless we go see Duke start doing something a little different. This is about the furthest they gone. And see, that's how it is when you come to a realization of what God's word really says. Because we got so used to doing it the same way all the time. You know, and Pastor talked about chill bumps and having our emotions stirred. Listen, you want some chill bumps? You want your emotions to be stirred? Let's start having those times when the Spirit of God just shows up. That's what I call a real stirring. It's a time when you're not even in a church setting. You're not even around church. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit shows up. You know, I'm going to share with you the importance of being obedient when God speaks. The reason it's so important to hear, listen, and obey. When Pastor Tony Wright was here the first time with his family, had his boys here, they fished, what, 2 or 3 days? I got up early that morning. It was a Thursday morning. And I'm headed to Mississippi. And about, probably around Jesuit Bend, there was an encounter of the Holy Ghost. And honestly, when Pastor told me who he was, I didn't even remember him from Koinonia. All I knew is he attended, didn't remember him attending, didn't know nothing about him. But about Jesuit Ben, you know, it was in that time that we were fasting. The Lord says, tell Tony Wright it's time. So, I mean, I'm going down the road, get on the interstate, and people's passing me like, this dude is crazy. I mean, probably over half the way, I had tears just flowing, and it's just me and the Lord. And he's telling me things, showing me things. I mean, I'm seeing things about this man and his family like I'm looking at you, driving down the interstate. So I get back that Thursday, and his wife was here, and his mom came, and I'm back there, and I'm like, Lord, I doubt my mind it was you. And he never showed up in service. So I had a choice. I could get in my truck and go home and totally miss God, or go walk next door and tell him what God said, and that's what I did. I walked in, and my wife was with me. Pastor was over here taking care of some things. And I just shared with him everything God showed me from Jesuit Bend all the way to Biloxi and back. And I even shared with him, you know, how that it was time. He was in a ministry. He got run off. But because he got, it was like the people just took him and threw him away, but God never threw him away. God wasn't done with him. And I shared this with him. I said, listen to me. I was at my house one night, sitting by my kitchen table. And my mama's sitting there. And she asked me, she said, if you ever get called to a fire, and it's a house on fire, and there's somebody inside, would you be willing to go into a burning house to get them out? I said, absolutely. Without a doubt, I wouldn't think about it. I'd go in. See, that day, on the interstate, God brought that back to my remembrance. And in the natural, and I have a shirt that I wear sometimes, on the back of it, it says, failure is not an option. And listen to me. Being who God called us to be, failure is not an option. Failure is nowhere, should be nowhere in our vocabulary. It shouldn't be an option for us to fail. We need to go on and do what God said do. And I told Pastor Tony Wright, said, the fire's burning. Said, God showed me this so plain. I said, unless you're willing to go in the fire, there's some people's going to die. They're going to lose their life. Said, but you got to be willing to go in. If the house is in flames and there's people trapped on the inside, and God's calling you to go in. And the last time he came down, I was standing by that door right there. And he looked at me, he said, brother, he said, it's been some fires. He said, but by the helping hand of God and the grace of God, we've been going in. And we've been rescuing people. See, sometimes we've got to be willing to go in. It might seem like I'll never get there in time, but we got to go in. You'll never know if you're going to make it in time if you're not willing to try. You'll never know if you're going to save a life if you're not willing to go in to rescue that life. And let me tell you something. Tonight, we can look around. Listen to me. It's time that we quit looking around in this building and allowing the amount of people that show up determines a lot of times what we allow God to do in a service. That shouldn't affect nothing God wants to do. Because let me tell you something. If every seat would have been filled, I'd have said the same thing. If it had just been three of us, I'd have said the same thing. Because some people are not here, it don't change who God is. But what we need to do is be willing to take what God gives us. And when we were around that person, let's share it with them. I've been in churches all over that just the amount of people that shows up determines whether or not we're going to be obedient to God. But we got to quit doing that. That's not hearing God. That's not listening. That's not obeying. Because listen, there's some people in our family. They're trapped in a fire. The house is burning. It's fully engulfed. But am I willing? But you see, my wife tells me all the time, I have a bag in the back seat of my truck that takes up half of the back of my truck. And that's my gear for when I get to a fire to put on and go in. Listen, don't go run into the fire without this. This is our gear. This is our protection. Let's not start running into fires without God's word, without the protecting hand of God, without the anointing of God. Because when we get there, there's going to be questions. And we need to be prepared to give the answer. But it's got to come from this. It's got to come from this. And some of us, and from this point of the service till however long we're here, I'm asking you if you've ever made yourself ready that in an instant to just allow God to just settle and minister to you. I'm asking you to do that tonight. Listen, it's not about who's speaking. You know, the Lord showed me a long time ago. And I had the opportunity to share with this with people. Because people look at you and they say, well, you don't preach like Pastor Jesse. Well, God didn't call me to be Pastor Jesse. He called me to be me. And he called you to be you. And he called Pastor Jesse to be Pastor Jesse. You see, that's what makes the body. Because if we'd all do the same thing, there would be no need for services like this. But we're all unique in our own way. So just be who God called you to be. But listen to me. There's some of us here tonight that in a spirit realm, the house isn't fully engulfed. And we got to be willing to go in. We got to go in the midst of the turmoil, in the disobedience, in the muck, in the mire, and go in and share God's word. You say, oh, but they know. Listen to me. I understand they might know. They probably heard it a million times. But are we willing to go in an instant, get to the scene and rush in? But don't rush in unprepared. Rush in with God's word underneath his anointing and be led by the Spirit. Because that could be the time. That's the important key, is being led by God's Spirit. Not by what I think, not by what I feel. Because I could tell you, I've been called to some places sometime that when you got there, you just wanted to grab people and shake them. If that would get the job done, this church would be packed out. But sometime we just got to be willing to go in and just speak the word. And you know what I found? Sometimes it's not the word I want to speak. Sometimes it's not what I feel. But I got to go beyond my feelings and beyond what I think and speak the truth of God's word and expect the result. You know, I can't go run into the fire and grab somebody by the hand and minister to them and talk to them and walk away and say, well, it's just another time that they heard the word. Well, you should have just never even wasted your time, because that's what it was. If we go in with that attitude, not expecting a change in people's life, we might as well not even waste the time. But we got to go in, explain to them who God is, because somewhere, even though they might have heard it, somewhere they didn't come to a complete realization of who God is. Because when we fall in love with God, I didn't say fall in love with the church. I didn't say fall in love with the community. Fall in love with God. And then we'll be able to start making a difference in everything that we do. Then we'll be able to have those times when people walk in and you won't have to say nothing. They'll start asking questions and we can just give answers according to what God's word says. And then we could expect changes and see changes, see a difference in people's life. But we got to be willing to go in. You know, it's been a year. It was a year ago from the first time I told Pastor Tony what the Lord showed me. And he said, it's just been awesome. But you see, one thing I told him, you can't go back to the same thing you were in. You got to be where God said be. You know, and listen, sometimes we get offers. Sometimes we get phone calls or something. You know, sometimes people say, well, can you come and do this or can you come and do that? Just because it sounds good don't mean it's God. Just because it feels good don't mean it's God. You say, well, how do I know? There'll be such peace about it through God's anointing that it'll never ever be a question. You'll know. There's some things that I've decided to do in my life that if it wasn't God, I'd have never even been a part of it. But I knew in my spirit what the right answer was. I didn't have to go to my prayer closet for 3 days. See, that's the importance of being led by the Spirit every day. Everything that we do. If God lays it on your heart to do something, most of the time you don't have to leave for 3 days and go somewhere and pray to get an answer. You'll know the answer instantly because He's our Father. You know, and sometimes we don't treat Him like He's our Father. Sometimes we're even scared to get around Him. Sometimes we're scared to approach Him. You say, well, how can... I'm not saying not to reverence God, because we have to, because He's God. You know, one thing I told the guy today, he said, well, you know, everybody thinks that when you die, you go straight to heaven. I said, no, you don't. He said, well, I don't believe that either. I said, let me tell you something else. You know, people think if a loved one dies, they got their angels watching over them. They ain't watching over nothing. They dead. Dead means dead. Dead don't mean you're somewhere looking over your family. It means you're dead. But it sounds good. You know, people says, well, God must have needed him an angel. No, God don't need no angel. If he needs one, he's going to create him one. He don't need to kill somebody on earth. Because when you die, you're dead. Until the resurrection. I said, but you know, some people don't want to talk about the resurrection because after the resurrection and after we rule and reign on earth, those that are right, it'll be judgment. And nobody wants to talk about judgment. But you see, the problem is in America. Go home and read chapter 6 of Genesis. In fact, start with 5 and read the 7. After God destroyed the earth. You know, thank God that he gave man dominion over everything on the earth. Because the man he created turned against him. Thank God for a family that listened. And they was willing to take dominion over the animals and bring them in so that the earth can continue. See, after the flood and the water dried up, God caused the rainbow. You say, how corrupt is the world today? Listen, all the gays and lesbians, they chose God's promises, his promise of a rainbow for their colors. They taken what they're doing and they rub it in God's face. So, if God don't intervene, he's got to go back to the days of Noah. He's got to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he destroyed that. That's why he destroyed it. So don't think for a moment they're getting away with it now. It's just a matter of time. The reason God hadn't sent Jesus back yet is because of his grace. But you know what? In a church world, I'm not talking about people that don't attend church. I'm not talking about people that don't believe that there's a God. I'm talking about in the church. We take God's grace for weakness. Because he's so merciful, we think he's weak. We don't serve a weak God. Our Father's not weak at all. But we got to start honoring him and treating him like he's our Father. You say, well, how do I do that? Listen to me. I'm in Thomaston, Georgia. And my phone rang. And it was Christopher. He said, hey, I'm just letting you know. I went to your house and I got the keys to your truck. I have your truck. He done it because of sonship. He done it because he knew it was okay. He didn't call in fear. He didn't call wondering, am I going to get screamed at? You know, am I going to get fussed at? But he called knowing that what he done was okay because I'm his dad. Do you know, a lot of times we walk in church and we don't treat God like he's our Father. We don't approach him like he's our Father. Listen, most sons that looks up to their dad, that honors their dad, they respect them. They do what they asked to do. And, thank you, Lord, if somebody says something about them, they defend them. When's the last time people said something about our Father and we didn't go to the Word of God and defend it? Defending. You say, but he's God. I understand that. But you see, that's an opportunity for us to explain who he is by using his word. Because his own creation has turned against him. And listen to me. I understand. Put that picture up. I understand that compared to the amount of people that was in the world when Noah done this. You know, imagine what was going through people's mind when he started carrying the lumber and they began to lay the keel out. See, there was a plan. God showed him exactly how to lay it out. Look, he didn't create you and I to serve him without a plan. It's right here. The plan on how you and I has to honor our Father is right here. But if I walk around with it and do this, I'll never know what the plan says. I'll never know where the plan's leading me. But I got to be willing to unzip it. Open it up. And partake of it. You say, how hard is it to get God's word? Listen. How many of you ever seen 2 pounds of twine? Well, 2 pounds of number 36 ain't much. In a time I used 2 pounds of twine to fill up needles, I listened to the whole book of Matthew. But then we walk around saying, oh, I can't get God's word, I just don't have time. It might be a little strange to people. Might be a little odd to people. But look, you go on your phone and get the Bible for free. You just press play and hook it back on your side. You walk around listening to the word of God all day long. Put some gospel music on. Some good music that honors God. I get people walks in my shop and I got music playing. I got the Bible CD on and they just kind of, some hurries up, does what they have to do and leave. And some will linger around and start asking questions. You see, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, it's not even about them coming in order next. It's about coming and feeling your presence when they walk through the door. That's what it's got to be about. It can't be about, you know, this is what I do for a living. It's got to be about feeling God's presence. You know how many times out in the middle of the Gulf, 20, 30 miles, 40 miles, 50 miles out in the Gulf out of South Pass, just had awesome times because somebody would look at you and say, man, there's just something different. They just opened it. They didn't just crack the door open. They just opened the door wide open to just share Jesus with them. You know, when somebody tells you there's something different about you, God don't expect for us to say, yeah, we know, and just go on. That's an opportunity. That door was just kicked open. And that's an opportunity to share who Jesus really is, what Jesus really done, and the price he paid for us to be different. But we got to be willing to step into that realm. We got to be willing to step into that atmosphere. And it won't always be in a church setting. Because there's a lot of people that we're going to meet in other things that we do that won't come in this church. Or they won't go to the church across the street or up the road or down the road. But there will be opportunity to share the word of God. But if I'm not listening and I'm not hearing and not obeying, I won't know what to do when that door is open. You know, imagine. I know this when they show it in the water, but I don't believe it was in the water. He built it on dry land. But he had a way to do it. Told him to pitch it within and pitch it without. How many levels to put in it? God laid out the plan. Listen, how many people came around thinking he's crazy? Something's wrong with him. Listen, there's people that since God's word has changed and became more real than it has ever been in this church, they think Pastor Dunn brainwashed us. They take offense to it when you say, well, we got the same Bible. Open yours and read it. Go with an open mind that you missed something, that you hadn't had a full revelation of what it's saying. But you can't go with your mind made up, well, I'm not going to see no more than I already seen. You're just wasting your time. But you got to go with an open mind and say, okay, Lord, clear my mind and cause me to understand what you're saying, and you'll begin to see what God's saying. You'll begin to just want to do what God say and do. And, you know, just it's amazing. But when they came out, the Bible says that when he finished and all the animals, he brought all the animals God told him to bring in. The Bible says before the rain started, God shut the door. What condition is our life going to be in when God shuts the door? When God shuts the door, it's over. It's done. You know, right now we have a chance. Right now, grace abides. Grace, you know, we could be under the grace. We are under the grace of God. But when God shuts the door, it's done. So now's the time we have to make the decision. Now's the time we have to make the choice. I'm going to be a son or I'm going to be a daughter of God. Church membership ain't good enough. You know, many people I heard tell me, well, I go to church at this church. Me and Pastor had a guy tell us, he was asking us, I mean, this was a few years after we got over the 15-minute sermons. Some people's kind of wishing we'd get back to it. He said, well, how long y'all service last? Well, sometimes we eat lunch at 12. Sometimes we eat lunch at 1. Sometimes it's 1:30. He said, I give my pastor 17 and a half minutes and I leave. Well, you need to get your mind right. You need to get your heart right. You need to get right with God and you want to stay there. Said, man, it takes us 20 minutes to dismiss the service. Of course, I mean, we 30 miles out in the Gulf. You can't jump out. You got to listen now. I'm getting more than 17 and a half minutes. But see, we got to be willing. Because when God shuts the door, it's done. It's over. You say, well, how long before he shuts the door? I don't know. But I could tell you, look at what's going on in the world. You look at what's going on. Don't look at what's going on in the world. Look at what's going on in the church. God's about fed up with it. The question is, how much longer is he going to have grace? How much longer is he going to have mercy? You know, we got to come to a realization we don't have long to do what he called us to do. We don't have long to make, we can't go to have 10 meetings to decide whether or not we're going to obey God or not. It has to become a choice that we can make instantly and say, okay, God, I'm hearing, I'm listening, and now I'm obeying. And I want to be led by your spirit. That's the key, being led by the spirit. Because that's what Jesus done. Jesus laid out the roadmap. And sometimes it wasn't popular. Sometimes there's towns went against him. You know, you think you're having it rough because your kid won't listen to you? Go read what Jesus went through. Sometimes we just think we're having it rough. We don't have it rough at all. But let's be willing to follow the leadership and follow the path that Jesus laid before us. Because his goal was to honor the Father and do the will of the Father. And if you think that Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, and he was God, you know how unjust that would have been? I'm driving down the road, and this is one of them moments again. The Spirit of God his anointing just shows up and says, what kind of a God would I be to send a God to earth that can't sin, and I tell you, you can't sin? I wouldn't be just at all. He said, but I sent man. He said, I sent the man just like you are. And he lived a sinless life, and he honored me and done what I told him to do. So therefore, everybody can do it, but you got to want to. We got to be willing to follow the footsteps of Jesus and follow the path he laid before us to honor our Father. Because he was all man. He wasn't God. He was man. But the question is, are we willing to give our Father the same honor our Savior gave him? The reason he was our Savior is because he was willing to not partake of sin. He was willing to honor the Father and put him first. And he gave up his life. Gave up everything so that you and I might live. How awesome is that? You know, when you think about it. Beaten till he was unrecognizable. Listen, they got these statues and they got these pretty pictures. And the real deal is, I don't know if we could actually take what he really looked like when they were finished beating him. Stripped of his clothes and beaten. You know, the biggest problem I have in church, and I know, you know, we go off and preach places and you got to be nice. But when you standing up and the preacher or the evangelist stands up and says, everybody close your eyes, nobody looking around. Listen, they ain't nobody went ahead of Jesus, Brother Scott, after they beat him and he was carrying his cross to go be crucified. He said, everybody go inside. Nobody looking out the window. We don't know nobody on the streets. They took him right through town. Everybody seen. So if they took my Savior, beaten, still blood all over him, a crown of thorns on his head, right through the city to be crucified, Don't come telling me I got to try to sneak you to Jesus and tell everybody close their eyes because we don't want nobody to see you repent. People need to see us repenting. People need to see us crying out to God and thanking him and honoring him. Because Jesus didn't sneak to the cross. They brought him openly. Of course, that don't go over too well in some places. But let me tell you, we serve an awesome God. We serve a God that he will do what he says he's going to do. And in closing, I'm going to share this with you. How many of you remember when Pastor Mark was here, when Pastor him was out of the country and we'd done the fishing trip and he had the guys from his church? We had, that's when we prayed, we wrote down names in pencil, wrote down needs in pencil. And just a few days after they left, I was able to call them and tell them about Aunt Audrey getting saved. And just the other day, I got to my truck and had a message from Robert Mercer. He's the guy on Sunday morning. It's Brother Mercer's brother. It was about 3 weeks before he turned 57 that he done thought in his mind, I'm not going to make it for the next 3 weeks. I'm going to die. Because his brother died at 57. His dad died at 57. And he came. He just had that on his mind. He was very sick. I'm going to die at 57. And I'm sitting right there in that seat next to where my wife's at on a Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, I just heard this voice. Go tell Robert Mercer. Don't call him. Go tell him. If he'll completely turn everything over to me, he'll live and not die. Pastor Charlotte, that was one of the hardest things. I'm like, Lord, you sure? You talking to me? I knew the situation. I knew what was going on. So on Wednesday night, I walked in that church in Thomaston, Georgia. I got behind the pulpit. I said, there's a man here. I never said his name. Said, if you'll turn over everything in your life, everything that you've been holding on to, everything that you've been allowing to hinder your walk with God, if you'll just turn it all over to God and let go of the things that you don't need to have in your life and let God be your father and let him be your God, you'll live and not die. And I'm standing there. And nobody moved. So I went on and I preached. And all of a sudden he walks up. And he said, brother, it's me. He said, because I done accepted the fact I probably won't live past 3 more weeks. I said, well, I'm telling you. Listen, you go tell somebody they're going to live and not die, you better be hearing God. You better make sure it ain't you. I'm talking about, I got in my truck on Wednesday morning. And from the time I got in my truck till I got out of it in Thomaston, Georgia, I said, Lord, is this, if it ain't you, I'm turning around and going back. But I need to make sure this is you. He said, it's me. And he just began to cry out to the Lord. He just began to pour out to God and just, listen, about 3 weeks after he turned 57, he called me up. He said, I'm still living. I'm still serving God. You talk about a sign of relief. I was like, thank you, Lord. But he just called me the other day. Last Koinonia, he fished with me. I told him I had the handicap boat. In fact, I painted the inside of my boat blue this year for him. So, you know, they can't go out if it's rough. They got to go where it's calm. I said, look, I'm going to take care of y'all. You know, I got a bunch of grandkids. I know how to take care of babies. So I'm going to take care of y'all. But he wrote that. He wrote down on his paper that he needed help physically, and he had to lose weight because he was that bad off. I mean, he caught a fish and had to sit down a long time before he could even fish again. But just the other day, and they also had on their list was they've been praying for a few years about getting another church. Getting one that's flat on the ground. They don't, because most of the people were elderly people. They had to climb up all those steps. Both of those things took place. They just got a new building completely signed over to Pastor Mark. He is officially the pastor. Everything paid for. Robert Mercer lost 50 pounds since he's been here. Pastor Mark lost 20. But he told me, he said, without God, I can't. He said he tried for years and years and years to just get his health right. And a lot of his health problems was the way he ate, things that he'd done. He knew he hurt. He was hurting himself. But we prayed that night. And I told him, I said, Kyle, let us know what God's doing. I want to know. When God does what you asking, let me know. And he called just the other day. He lost 50 pounds. And his health's, it's not 100% better, but it's a whole lot better. It's way better than what he was. He said, I might even get to go out in a golf this time. So he might not be on my boat. But that's okay. See, the thing is, when we prayed, and I told him this, because he kept calling me about that fishing trip. In fact, they called, they wanting to come back. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. And I called Pastor Mark and I told him, I said, this ain't about paying a fishing guide. This ain't about getting on a boat and going fishing. I said, this is more about being led by the Spirit and doing what God said. I said, whether you paying for a trip or not, if you're going to come here and you can't leave closer to God than you got here, we don't need to do the trip. Because this is more about being who God said be and doing what God said do, and people even with more knowledge and a deeper understanding of who God is than what you came with. So it's not about fishing. It's more about spiritual connections through the Spirit of God and being able to help people. Whether you're in Georgia and I'm in Louisiana, it don't matter. That connection through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, we should be able to help people. And that's what it's about. It's more about people being ministered to by the Spirit of God than it is fishing. And remember the other guy? I think y'all were here that night they were here. That Monday night. The guy, they said every time he went somewhere, if he got around more than two people, he wouldn't say nothing. He would just disappear, just clam up, wouldn't say nothing. See, about 3 days before they got here, the Lord showed me somebody that was living in bondage, and I ain't never seen this guy before. And I mentioned that. How that if you'll just let go and let God, he will cause a release in your life and your life will never be the same. And I'm standing about right here. I was praying for several different people. And there was a line right here. And I looked and the guy is standing right there. And Gary came running up. He said, hey, you don't understand. I said, yeah, I understand because I know what God showed me. He said, no, you don't understand. This guy, any other time, he'd have walked out the door. He said, but God put this. I said, that's what I've been trying to tell y'all all along. It's more about being led by the Spirit than fishing. The guy hadn't missed a service since they left. People comes around and he stays around talking. But that morning, after the Wednesday morning, and when they were leaving, they came down to my shop and he came in and he said, there was just something about what God done. And you can tell it wasn't the same man that walked in when he left Wednesday morning. But see, that's what it's about. We have to be willing to do things that's going to impact people's life and cause them to come to a complete realization of what God could do for them and how God could really be their father if they'll just open up and allow him to. And they said, it's just been awesome. He said he can't wait to come back. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but that's what it's about. No matter what we do, we need to impact people's life so that they can leave better than they were and closer to God so they can go back and he can impact somebody else's life. You know, it don't just stop with one person. It has to go on and on and on. However many people he impacts, then the people he impacts has to impact somebody else's life. And that's what it's about. Let's all stand.